Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I've studied the passage and I'd like to focus in on verse 23 because I think it's central. It says, "And bring the calf, the fatted one, and sacrifice it, and let us eat and make merry." I've entitled the sermon this evening, "Define the Sacrificial Christ." Well, one of the most prominent seniors' homes that I've ever visited is Belmont House in Toronto. And they've had some very prominent residents there. They have had very prominent visitors as well. Beginning in 1969, when the 19th century buildings were replaced, they've always seemed to draw the current governor general of the day. And they've always seemed to take time to visit. Well, maybe that's because in the early 2000s, they had an important senator who lived there, David Walker. A whole wing of the facility was named after him. And then in 2003, Prince Edward, the Earl of Wessex, dedicated another wing in memory of the Queen Mother, who celebrated her 100th birthday in that year. They have a beautiful chapel there. It's quite small, but it is beautiful, and I love to look at the stained glass windows that they have there. It's illuminated by some artificial light placed behind. And one of the scenes is of the prodigal son. The whole story is laid out before the attendee at the chapel. You can see the prodigal son, the father, the older brother, but also worthy of note, emerging from the corner of one of the windows, and yet it is distinctly there, is the image of the fatted calf. I declare that the artist is not just simply an artist, but I think he must be also a theologian. A lot of storytellers, paraphrasers, writers for, and well-intentioned ones, I might add, writers for Sunday school publications, tend to gloss over this verse concerning the sacrifice and say something like, well, they had a great big party for the prodigal son, as if the calf's main purpose was there to feed the guests. But I encourage no one to gloss over this verse, verse 23. Luke does not say that the calf was slaughtered, but was sacrificed. There's a big difference. Luke does not say that the calf was merely killed, but was sacrificed. It's a big difference. We slaughter and we kill for meat, but sacrifice, we sacrifice to do what? To atone for sin and bring about reconciliation. For in the image of the sacrificial animal, we find therein the sacrificial Christ, the essence of the Lenten season, the cross of Jesus. In the image of the sacrificial animal, we find the message of St. Luke's symbol of the sacrificial ox. St. Luke's gospel prominently features the temple all over. At the beginning of his gospel, at the end of the gospel, you find the temple, the place of sacrifice. Pointing what? Pointing to the fulfillment of Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice made to take away the sins of the world. Jesus, in his discussions with the Pharisees, he chides them. He says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me." In every passage of scripture, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament or the Psalms, the scriptures, ultimately their purpose is to bear witness to Jesus and him crucified. The whole point of the word, the miracles, and even the parables of Jesus is point the hearer to the kingdom of God. And at the center of the kingdom of God is the King and his sacrificial work on the cross to bring about our salvation. St. Paul preached many sermons on many different texts from the Old Testament and even from the life of Christ. But at the center of each one was the cross of Jesus, which is the sacrifice of Jesus, so that he would be able to say, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." When I think of all of this, the sacrificial calf emerges from the corner of the stained glass window and takes on center stage. For those catechumens familiar with the Greek language of the New Testament, the sacrificial nature of the Old Testament religion, the Eucharistic life of the church, the Lord's Supper, that is, the fatted calf would also emerge prominent in their whole understanding of the story. Jesus uses the verb thuo for sacrifice, for the killing of the fatted calf. It's a word that calls to mind specifically the sacrifice of the Passover lamb in Luke 22, verse 7. In the ears of the first century catechumens, this word belongs to the language of the Passion, of sacrifice, and of Eucharist, where Christ is the sacrifice, where Christ's sacrifice is then dispensed from the altar to the very end of time for the people to consume. In the sacrifice and consumption of the sacrifice is reconciliation. Reconciliation that happens, the sinner and God. God and man are reconciled. The sinner is reconciled of his family and his community. When the Sunday school paraphraser says, "Well, they got food and had a big party," it's like all the reconciliation took place when the father embraced his wayward son. Well, that is a wondrous image, isn't it? And some preachers have put a lot of emphasis on the fact that when the father embraces his son, he says, "Get the robe and put the robe upon him." And we can't help but think of the robe of righteousness, the Christ's righteousness that we have in baptism. Well, we make a mistake, though, when we think that all the reconciliation took place when the father embraces the wayward son. That would have only been half measures. It might seem like a lot and enough to those of us who are urban Canadians. We might like to talk about community, but most of us know nothing about the power and the importance of community for acceptance or rejection, happiness or despair, survival or loss. We eat our sandwich on a fast food counter facing the street alone. Our community, such as it exists, does so on our phone. And most of us, we're good with that. We like to think we're good lone wolves, and we don't need much community. But really, we've been dehumanized, for even the animal has his herd, but we know nothing of it. Immigrants, on the other hand, from just about anywhere else in the world, the non-Westernized world, better know the joys of family, of tribe, and community. Of course, they know the downside of it all, but they know the joys. They know the intrusion of it all, but they also know the joy of it, the security of it, the belonging that is involved in it. They know profound loss to have that taken away. Even those who have never really had it know the loss of it, the loss of community. They know how that hurts inside and sense a longing for it. We know it deep down in our souls, in the depths of our humanity, this longing to belong. How shall that longing. How shall that community be restored? When shall we sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? When the blood of the sacrifice is shed and the atoning work is given to us. For the prodigal son, the calf was sacrificed according to the Old Testament religious model. The sacrifice was made looking forward to the sacrifice of the Messiah to come, fully atoning for sin, which was considerable, so he might be reconciled with his father, his family, even his older brother, and the community. But the older brother didn't really get it, did he? He saw the sacrifice as a slaughter for meat, for the party. But the end of that animal's life was a sacrifice to reconcile all of the family, including himself, to the younger brother. Your brother was dead, but now he lives. The sacrificial animal fulfilled in the sacrificial Christ, who gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, reconciles us to God, to our immediate family, but especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Especially we may be reconciled to community. What a wondrous thing. We eat and we celebrate in our community, the community of faith, which is the church. We celebrate the Holy Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving. And indeed, as the Eucharist or Lord's Supper is at the center of Christian worship, so also is the cross, is the sacrifice of Jesus, the supper, and the celebration upon our reconciliation. We continue with lessons from St. Luke. And as we do so, we've got another session next week. Think of St. Luke's symbol, the sacrificial ox, and by faith be led to the sacrificial Christ. What wondrous love is this? Loved and forgiven, we may more readily love and forgive others. Not one of the repentant may be considered to be beyond the mercy of Jesus. I draw your attention back to the very beginning of the pericope, to the very beginning of the text, verses 1 to 3 of chapter 15, where the scribes and Pharisees were worried about Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus eats with them. God and community may be reconciled with them and us also. He doesn't try to minimize their sin, saying, that doesn't matter, you're a tax collector, doesn't matter, you're some kind of horrible sinner. He doesn't say it doesn't matter, which is really the modern way of dealing with sin. The calf is sacrificed, pointing to the Christ who is sacrificed, written in the gospel authored by Luke, who is symbolized by the sacrificial ox. What a wondrous love is this. How motivational can this be for us in this Lenten season? We are forgiven at such great cost. May we learn to forgive others, our brothers and sisters in Christ especially. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.